honestly speaking, I think you need to walk through hell and leave hell on your own to figure out who you really are.
Through the money, designer, the drip. Don't got a cap, I'm as real as a gear. Bet on myself and I triple the flip. Came from the streets, I'ma stick to the script. We popping bottles like you on a trip. Rather fill up accounts than empty a clip. 10 on the ground, so I never slip. They love you, they hate you, I'm watching them switch. Switch, 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 switch. They hate you, they love you, I'm watching them switch. Switch.
Y'all already know what it is. It's your boy Chance. Rooks in the house like always. We got a special guest, boxer slash artist, fellow.
Hi, nice to meet you guys. Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Tonight,
what a privilege.
Early for $100.
Tonight, yeah. For you guys, it's during the day.
Which is cool. Tell them where you're at.
Okay, so I live in Ticino, which is in Lugano, Switzerland. This is the Italian part. We border Italy. And so the main language here is Italian, but I was brought up with English as my first language. I would consider it more my mother tongue because, yeah, my whole education has been in English. So, yeah. But, yeah, I'm from here. I'm from Switzerland, born in Bern, the capital.
Nice. Before we get into it, you ever been to the U.S.?
Yeah, I've been to New York. I've been to L.A., been to Vegas. I've been to Miami.
Miami's lovely.
It was, you know what? I really.
So you've been to half spots.
I like the U.S. I wanted to live there, but they didn't want me to live there.
I promise you, you're not missing nothing. You should stay where you're at. Just visit.
Oh, no. Yo, elaborate. Hold on. You went to all the hot spots, like all the front runner spots of America. We didn't want you.
I know, right?
It was first point. It was vacation and all, but like the reason I wanted to like actually move there was because I started off on this dream that I wanted to be an actor when I was 18, and I really worked my ass off. I tried to get an O-1 visa. It didn't work, although I had like all the recommendations from my professors in London that I was in university in, and I had done a couple movies here, main character roles, but at the end of the day, it was just not enough. And I guess, like, you know, everything happens for a reason, so I'm not bitter about it. And I kind of realized I don't want to be an actress. So,
yeah, visas are hard though.
Yeah, and it's like, unless you go with I don't know, you go with a study abroad kind of thing, and then once you go, right, and you're studying whatever you're studying, you have to then remain in that field. And then in a matter of like 6 months, you have to get a job in that, like whatever you studied. So
what about if you marry somebody?
I did not look into that, to be honest.
I mean, that's
shackled, man, shackled.
That's usually how you do it.
That, I didn't want to get into trouble. I was trying to act. I was not trying to act the whole relationship, but
how long is the flight from there to New York?
I think it was a 9-hour flight.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, no.
Oh, we out there. Because I went to Australia. I was like 22 hours.
Yeah, no, No, I was in Buenos Aires recently. I think that was one of the longest trips I did. That was also like a 22-hour trip, like in total. It was two different flights with like a 3-hour break in between. One was an 8-hour flight and one was a 10-hour flight. And just kidding, it was even longer than I thought.
Okay, so you're telling me if I go to...
Wait, shit. I flew from Milan to Germany, which was like a 2.5-hour flight, something like that. And then from there, I flew straight to Buenos Aires, which was then like a much longer flight. I think that one was like a 12-hour flight. And then with the in-between, so something like 20, 22-hour total, something like that. That was a long trip. Wouldn't do it again.
Yeah, I think what I would do, you know, after the podcast get where it's going to be, is take like a month off.
Yeah.
And then fly somewhere like in the middle or something. Like, I don't know, maybe Switzerland, whatever, fly in the middle. and then just start going to different places that's like 2-3 hours away.
Yeah, I mean, Europe gives you that opportunity. Like, that's the good thing about being in Europe. I've flown a lot. I've been around to a lot of different countries, a lot of different continents. I've been in Asia, I've been in the US, I've been in South America, etc. But at the end of the day, I've seen so many things. Now I kind of want to do road trips. And since I've got my dog, I kind of, you know, messed up that for myself. But like, willingly, like knowingly that I would not be able to be doing trips like to Bali or something, which was fine with me. I've already done that. Like, so I was happy with that.
You gotta have a fire dog sitter for that.
I don't trust nobody with my dog. That's my dog. Nobody. She's. I don't leave her alone.
How long have you had your dog? How old is she?
She's 1 year and 6 months. But when I got her, she had like a severe anxiety problem. Because where I got her from, like she's already. I mean, she's a Sheltie. Come here. Come here. I'll show you guys. Come here. Go. This is my baby.
Yeah.
And she's such a sweetheart.
She looks like Lassie.
Yeah.
That's
right. Baby. But she's she had like a really bad anxiety problem because she got yelled at a lot in the place where she was, where I got her from. And she got just really scared of loud noises, of people. And then she didn't want to go outside. She didn't want to do nothing. It took me a year to like be able to take her on like calm, enjoyable walks.
Yeah,
like in the middle of the forest. Like I'm not even talking city. Like I still can't take her to the city. So it's, she taught me a lot of patience. But yeah, very, very happy to have her.
What's her name again?
Her name's Bagheera, but I call her Boogie. It just changed, you know, over time. It just, I gave her a couple different names. I had her name was Baguette for a while. When she annoys me, her name's Booger. But yeah, it's Boogie, like Boogie with the hoodie, kind of like that.
Yeah, so I had a dog named Scrappy. Rook knows him. I was like my son, my bestie, like my man's. Had him for 13 years, and he passed. And then that was hard. And then 2 years later, after I was good, like the kids kind of wanted to feel that again. So we got a dog now, another one. His name is Gatsby. But now I'm cool. I'm back in the space of, all right, cool, lovey. So I'm probably going to get like two more.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I've had that so many times now, that thought, like, what if I just get like another one? But every time I think about like, all, like I'm alone, I take care of her alone. I don't work like anywhere. I have a different sort of income. I have an apartment that I rent out, so I have a monthly income from that, and I'm just trying to build up my socials, and I'm a video maker. So when I have the time and like opportunities come in, then I do that. But other than that, I'm so focused on boxing and just literally just taking care of her. So it's all about my mental health, my physical health, and hers. And yeah, like everything that needs to happen comes in time and place. And I'm blessed that I'm the person I am today. So yeah.
All right. From New York to LA, I say it now. We want you back. All right. You was a hustler. All right, you just literally said you're a hustler in so many words.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I went through some shit. I'm not gonna lie. I think you need to break as a person to become who you really need to be.
Yeah.
I think to really find yourself, you need to first break. I think this is something that people oversee when they say like, okay, I'm trying to find myself, I'm trying to figure out what kind of person I am, what do I want to give to the world, or what do I want to receive from the world, where is my place, like all that sort of stuff. When you're growing up and you're trying to just find your place in the world, honestly speaking, I think you need to walk through hell and leave hell on your own to figure out who you really are. And that's kind of what happened to me. And that's where you see where your real friends at. Who were your friends? Who aren't your friends? you learn about boundaries. I had a big issue with like not having boundaries, being a yes girl, saying that's fine, everything's always fine, and I was just dying on the inside instead of taking care and giving love to myself. It was something that I was always trying to outsource. And yeah,
two things on what you said. One, that's definitely very important, because Rook knows that, because he's definitely been there my whole musical and whatever career. I mean, my music was pain in music, so you know, I definitely experienced that going through the fire and all that shit. But the second thing is, I literally had this conversation with my daughter in the car yesterday. We were talking about gymnastics, whatever, and then I was I was like, people don't tell you, like, the key to succeeding is you have to fail.
Yeah,
like you have to,
like you have to.
That's the only way you grow. It's the only way you see, like, who you are. That's the only way you figure out how to bounce back. Like, no one's perfect. Like, if you had a perfect life, you would never know how to function.
You wouldn't be really doing anything that's great, I would say. I guess you would be in a below norm state, because if you never try anything, you never throw yourself out there. If you're so scared to fail, I think that was one of the biggest reasons why I'm so, I don't want to say hard on myself with boxing, but so dedicated and so focused on it, is because, not that I'm trying to prove something to myself, but I want to get to a certain point and I want to learn and I want to keep learning. But you can't let like setbacks make you stop. Like that's where the biggest issue comes in. People start so many different things and they're like, oh, I'm not great overnight. Well, I must not be good at it then. Like, well, nobody's good at the start. It's like, when you're a baby, you don't know how to speak. You learn how to speak and you fail many times. It's like the same concept, as if, I don't understand how in adulthood that gets lost and that gets forgotten completely. Failure becomes something embarrassing much rather than something to be proud of. Every time that you failed and you've gotten up and you've done something again and you tried again, that's the part where you're great. So like that's kind of the mindset that I've learn to live by, and catapults you into success, but like success for yourself, into success of whatever that you want to do, that you really want to do, as long as you're doing it for yourself.
Yeah, I think
you put that on the album, bro. You would put that on the album, my favorite, of course. He put the snippet of Rocky talking about, you know, getting knocked down, and life's gonna knock you down. You know, I don't care how high the pedestal is, wherever you think you're sitting, you're not untouchable. But, the champions get up.
Yeah.
I think that's also a nice point, that you're never going to stay untouchable. It's not like you're going to reach a certain point. It's the same thing about making money. Like, people forget. It's like, oh, okay, I've made 2K this month. Next month's goal is 3K. And then, but it doesn't end. It's not like your goals end. You always want to better yourself. And I feel like this is part of, you know, people forget that it's not a consistent up. It's like, it's going to be this, and then it's going to be that, and then it's going to be maybe here and here. And then it's not a linear thing. It's not like once you're up there, like, okay, well, that's where you're going to stay. No, like shit happens.
Yeah.
Shit happens, and then like, okay, well, then when you're back down on the floor because you fucked up doing something, or something happened that you couldn't predict because life's unpredictable, you can't be there and like, oh, well, everything I worked for is gone. No, this is just another way to bring you to your next point, the next place that you've got to go. That's where your starting point is, and life's never linear, and people forget that. People forget how non-linear life is, just in general, with everything.
Yeah. I think it's also a little different now, too, because the way social media is now. So now the kids believe, like, oh, I got to be popping. If I'm not popping, then I got to do something quick. I got to do something else, or do something else quicker. And this perception that until you get older, or until you figure out at whatever age, it doesn't really matter what people think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But until you figure that out, you're constantly putting pressure on yourself, because like, I don't look good, or I don't look this weight, or I'm not making this amount of money, or I don't drive this. So it's the constant pressure of the outside people that really don't mean anything, because they're not there when you fall.
Yeah. I can relate to that, in the sense that I used to have like my first following came from being was like a travel page, and I was really young. I started it at like 16, and I went on to like 22, approximately around that time. And I was noticing how my photos became more and more vulgar, even though it was about like traveling, but it was just more and more awful. So that I found myself like, okay, that's another bikini pic. That's another, like, you know, it started becoming slutty almost. And I'm so glad that I wasn't popping off back then, because that's not the image that I want to give to younger women, to younger girls. This is not something, this is something you learn once you're past that point where you're like, okay, I don't need the approval. And the likes don't mean anything. And it's not that nobody grows overnight. And people make mistakes. And people learn by making mistakes. And I think, like, as somebody that's 27 now, I feel the responsibility to not portray myself in that way. And show that it doesn't really matter. Like, sorry to say, it's like, if you're showing your ass. Or if you're showing something that's, like, progress of your work, because you're gonna find like the audience that you attract, right? So if you're posting certain things, that's for whoever audience that is. So yeah, that's why there's things like OnlyFans and stuff. Yeah, there's girls that do that, make a lot of money off of it. I'm always one to say, okay, I don't judge anyone, to each their own. Personally, I don't think it's a good thing that it's out there. It's giving the wrong message to really young kids that have access to the internet, that have, you know, they're like, oh, well, that's the easy way to do it. Well, no. Because also there, you have to do the same thing. It's always about learning how is the platform working and so what and so on. So it's like your content, whatever it is that you're using in social media, if there's the quality and you bring something interesting to the table, then that's where your audience comes in. The subject doesn't really matter. But it's a shame that it's becoming such a thing that young women are just exposing themselves, knowing, because I was one of the people that used to post like booty pics, like the Kardashians. Like, I was like, ooh, like bikini popping, you know? And now I'm like, oh my God, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
But then you only arrive at that conclusion later. I'm not trying to shame anybody. I love women that feel comfortable doing it. But not if they're doing it because they're trying to receive approval, or if they're trying to gain likes, and they start like transforming from what their initial thing was into like something completely different all of a sudden, just because because social media becomes addicting. Like it's the same type of addiction as any other drug or substance that you can get addicted on. It's insane. Like,
no,
I'm with you. I'm there because I feel like, well, one, we did interview somebody who does OnlyFans. Mm-hmm. And one thing that we learned, and I felt like it was a great, well, we both feel it was a great interview, because it's a lot of work. If you're really good at it, if you're really good at anything, there's a lot of work that goes on that people do not get to see and they don't know. And you see, people don't want to do the work. They want instant gratification. They want to win right away, but they don't know that these people are really not winning overnight. They're working for it. Yeah. I feel like guys too have to take some responsibility though for what's going on with you know, girls and how they're behaving today, because we're either accepting or we're pushing that behavior, and then at the same time, you know, later on we're gonna condemn them for how they behaved before. But this is what we wanted. This is what we're trying to get out of you.
But women are no better. Let me tell you, from the women's point of view, when we see a man being all, look at my abs and doing these thirst traps, like there's men that do this as well. And let me tell you, like in the girl group chats, like we're not like, oh, what a man. We're like, oh my God, what is he doing? So like, I think it goes both ways. I think it's just the stigma that for women it's worse, but I feel like this type of generation is starting to really switch lanes, in the sense that they're starting to like really point fingers, which in general I already think is kind of like, before you're pointing, right? You're pointing two fingers there, but there's always like three pointing back at you, bro. Like, you gotta be, why don't you focus on yourself and not what about like what everyone else is doing? Yeah. And that's when you're going to start succeeding, because you need to start internalizing, what is it that makes me happy? I don't care if there is someone else doing OnlyFans. I don't care if there is a guy shirtless singing on TikTok. Like, it's not my business. It's everybody can choose for themselves. And people forget that. People are so judgmental. They're always like talking, oh, he did this, she did that. What are you doing?
I just wanted to be noticed that she said I'm about to get roasted, because we had this conversation because I'm back in the gym and I'm working out again. And I already said Instagram will have a lot of shirtless shit going on. It don't even matter what I'm doing, cutting carrots or whatever. Yeah. And I'm gonna be shirtless. So I already know in your group chat, I'm about to get roasted. Like, oh my
God. He already put the apron on with no shirt.
Was a long time ago. That was a photo shoot that I got paid for.
Well, if you got paid for it, I mean. But well, my point is that, like, it's like, you do you. Mm-hmm. It's none of my business what you're doing. If you're happy doing that, then do it. If I'm happy doing, if I want to do this, then I'm going to do that. Because I think too many people are so focused on what's everyone else doing. But that was just my comment about, like, it's not only women that do this. Men do this too. And we both genders shit on each other instead of being focused on themselves. Like, I think that's where a big issue comes in, that we're so, why are we so concentrated? Like, this is what I was saying. Like, when people are in the gym, so many people are worried, what is him or her thinking about my fit or about my form, about whatnot or whatever? This, so many people have literally not gone to the gym, have told me, no, I cannot go to the gym because I'm scared to start, like, because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to tell you, the people in the gym are going to be your biggest supporters. Mm-hmm. The people that are in the gym, the ones, the biggest guys, the most ripped girls, they're the ones that are silently applauding you the day you walk in. And they're definitely not the ones that are judging you, because they've been where you were. But I think, like, that's a big thing that's missing in social media. This is why I'm trying to make my page about progress. My page is about, I'm not a pro boxer. I'm not. And I know that.
Yeah.
But I have high goals and I want to achieve them. And I also show that I am grinding every single day towards achieving this for myself. This is something I want, and I'm not going to stop till I reach what I want. And I think that's the mindset you have to have, but I'm going to show it. I'm going to show that I sucked here and I was shit there and my hook was crap at this point, and now it's good, but it didn't happen yesterday, today. So I think I kind of like got the attention by showing, okay, I lost 25 kilos. This is the before and after. Now we're going to start talking about, okay, I got your guys' attention. I'm someone that works hard. But now let's go into the details of something that's not overnight. And it's never overnight. And I'm hoping to start recording in another gym. Right now I'm not allowed to record in the gym that I'm in. But getting I got a mic and stuff, and I want to start really like speaking in my videos, talking about like, hey, it's fine that like people here, nobody's watching you. If you've just come in, just signed up, listen, the amount of times that I've thought, fuck yeah, another person joined, look at you working on yourself, choosing to work on yourself. That in itself, like, you showed up, even if you're not pushing 100 kgs, it doesn't matter. Like, you showed up, and it's about showing up. Sometimes I go and I just do yoga because I'm super tired. But get that routine in. Go there.
Sometimes, yes, I'm working.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm crying at home, and I'm like, but fuck this. I don't want to go. And I'm like, okay, well, shit. I'm going to put on, like, music really helps me. I listen to something that gets me going. Everybody has their go-to music when they're feeling bad. And I think that's like a big part of depression as well. You start to like let it take over. And that's where you have to be like stronger here and say like, okay, yes, I love Adele. Yeah, I'm crying. It's great. I want to feel this way, because that's what depression does to you. It makes you want to stay there. Yeah. And you got to be like, okay, fuck, I'm going to put on like something that gasses me to go. And just even just for a 10-minute walk outside, have accountability, have be there for yourself. Choose to be better. Choose to be like, okay, I'm not saying don't cry or like don't feel the shit you're going through. You have to digest it. You have to feel it. And like, sometimes it really sucks. Like I'm diagnosed borderline personality disorder. Like it really freaking sucks sometimes. Feel it, digest it, move on.
Damn right. Quick question, because I'm jealous. Are you in a swing?
Sorry, what?
Are you in like a swing?
A swing?
What are you sitting on?
Oh, a couch. I'm just...
I was about to be like, yo, I need for the podcast, bro, I need like a swinging chair.
Oh, yeah, because
it's going back and forth, and I'm like, yo, I want one.
Oh, no, I just move like that. I can't sit still. I have a problem with being...
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm fidgety, too, but I'm crazy that way, and I thought that was mad cool. I was like, yo, if she's sitting in a hammock or a swing or some shit, like, I want one.
I thought it was a rocking chair.
Word, no. Yo, throw that shit in the room, yo.
Moving forward, like, on my own. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, but what you said is the same thing. Like, again, going back to that same conversation I had with my daughter about the failure, I said the same thing. I said, I'm not negating your feelings. Like, feel how you feel. I said, you can feel it. You can mm-hmm. navigate through it. I said, but don't live there. Don't buy a house there. Like, get out. Yeah.
So. And, like, that's the biggest thing. Like, your feelings are valid. It's like, I hate it when someone's like, why are you so mad about that? That shouldn't trigger you so much. It doesn't matter why I'm so mad. It triggered me. It's an emotion I'm feeling. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling angry. Maybe I'm feeling super excited. Maybe I'm over the top in your opinion, in your perspective, in your life, the way you're living, this is too much. But at the end of the day, that's you and I'm me. So if I'm feeling something very deeply, I'm allowed to feel that way. And there's a big issue with people invalidating other people's feelings, which doesn't mean that you can just act out aggressively, for example. Like, it doesn't mean, oh, I'm mad, so I'm going to smash this table in and you're just going to have to take it. That's not what I mean. I mean, you have to understand that everybody experiences things differently and everybody has their own life experiences, their own emotions, their own feelings. And none of it is comparable. You can never say my pain is worse than yours or my happiness like is better or I feel more depressed than you do, because how are you going to compare that? Are you living in that person's body? No.
Or they don't deserve the success.
Yeah.
Exactly, because you have no clue how much blood, sweat, and work they put into that. If anything, you should be admiring or trying to understand how they got there. If this is something that you, if it's the same category of something you want to be doing, instead of hating on them, you should be figuring out what the hell they're doing, because clearly it's working.
You're just trying to say you don't give a fuck, depending on who it is. Like, there's some people that's successful that Chance and I have to either come across or we watch, because, you know, business is social media, but you're not trying to do things the way that they do it. There are other people successful in the stuff that you want to do that are very influential in the ways that fit your morals. So pay attention to those people and not pay attention to those people that you're like, ew, what's up with them?
Yeah. Like, you gotta, okay. Obviously. Yeah. So if I want to be a boxer and, there's a strategy to how I would win a fight. So, like, let's say Ryan Garcia recently, he's been the thing that he did with the alcohol and the acting crazy. And he literally proved how much you can just bullshit on social media and people will believe or just can just make shit up and completely ignore what really, really is going on behind, because they can't even know. So that speaks for the same thing. You don't know what somebody is actually doing behind the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it, I think, is having a personality on social media and who you really are as a person. Because the majority of these influencers, that's a strategy. That's not, people forget, that's not their personality. That is a strategy. I have met rappers, trappers that have like this persona. It's exactly like this interview that I've seen of 50 Cent, where he says, okay, this is a Curtis Jackson and this is 50 Cent, like your persona. And they put this montage and it blew up, but people didn't get the actual message.
Mm-hmm.
You are selling yourself as a product. And this product needs to be interesting. That doesn't mean that everything that you're showing is real about the product. The same way, you don't know what's in McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no shade there, but you get what I'm saying. Like, you never know what's in the products for real. Like, you only see what people choose to show you. So don't be fooled that everything that you're seeing is real. People got to start understanding that just because I'm all gangster and stuff here doesn't mean that in real life I'll be like that. I mean, okay, for the sake of this podcast, this is how I really am, but like, you can choose to completely alter your whole persona if it's for a strategy.
Yeah.
Because working...
I have a boxing question.
Go for
it. Do you have any, like, do you have any fighters right now or past and present that you like to watch or study?
That I study? Not necessarily like to the point where I look at strategy. Moreover, more so that I'm interested in the way that they fight. Mm-hmm. So I really like, I mean, I know it would get me mad, not gonna lie. So, you know, Prince Nazim, the one that like danced around. So now there's a new guy, his Mark Anthony, something like that. Gosh, my brain is lagging. There's a new guy in Britain that's doing something very similar. He riles his opponents up. He gets them fucking pissed because he just moves out of their way. He's fast like that, which I think is a good like thing in boxing nowadays, is that it's not anymore about how much you get hit. Like, people focus a lot on dodging hits so that you don't end up like brain dead. That's by the
time. True boxing is to not get hit.
Yeah, but a lot of people are like, back in the day were like, okay, as long as you hit back harder.
They wanted the Mike Tyson effect.
Yeah,
those are Neanderthals, and I don't mean it to be disrespectful, but I'm sorry. Yeah. We're talking about the art of fighting. The art of fighting is about that, about hitting and not being hit.
Exactly. If I'm walking out full of blood, then I also lost. Like, if I'm walking out half dead, like, that's not really a win. I don't know.
You know, Rocky and Apollo at the end of that first movie, they both lost. I don't care whose hand got raised. They couldn't see out of their eyes.
Didn't barely
read out of their nose. That's, you lost.
Yeah. And they put it out to be this legendary fight. Bro, you guys just fucked each other up. That wasn't even...
It was a UFC fight.
Sorry?
I said it was a UFC fight.
Yeah.
Nah. Let's not get disrespectful. That's... Come on, MMA.
They were bloody beat.
They really... That was... I mean,
I think one of the best, I mean, obviously I know Brooks dude is Mayweather, but I think one of the best to do the flashy, dancey, not get hit shit was Roy Jones.
Yeah, it's my second favorite fighter of all time.
I did not know about him. That's really embarrassing as a boxer. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to check that out right away.
There's a lot of people in Europe that know Roy Jones Jr., but it's okay. It's never too late to learn something, is it?
The shame. No, I'm kidding. No, it's never too late. No, but I'm not even at that stage yet where I'm studying people strategically. I see what I like, what gets thrown at me at the moment, but I'm so focused on my own advancing that I don't want to say call it wasting time, because it's good to study movement and it's good to study the visual of like, okay, what are the type of combinations people use? Like, what is there to expect to study fights? But this comes way like later in the career, yeah, that once you have to really be thinking about it. Right now, I'm focused on being able to move like a boxer and to start becoming naturally, you know, like naturally being able to do these type of movements, because I got operated in November and I had to learn how to walk again. Like, it took me a while. It's not that I was paralyzed or anything, but having had a spinal fusion on my bottom vertebrae on L5-S1, it was just so incredibly painful that I could barely move. Like, first couple of days in the hospital, I was just in absolute misery. I was like, what did I do to myself? But now in the long run, I'm like, okay, I got through that. That's like the worst pain I've felt in my entire life. And now I'm standing and I'm boxing. And the doctors were like, you can't box. Like, you can't. And I'm like, well, you're going to see, because I'm not going to not box. So I do everything I can to protect myself physically, but to still advance, because I can't not be a boxer. It's not. I started at 18 doing Muay Thai. The reason why I can't do I can only do boxing is because of the limitation I have from rotation, or like the dangers of getting thrown on the floor and smashing, landing on my back, or taking a kick into my sides or into my back. These are the dangers that I take if I go into MMA or if I go into Muay Thai or Jiu-Jitsu or anything like that. So I cannot take that risk. So I'm lucky enough that I can squeeze by and say, okay, well, I'm not going to tell the doctor, but I'm training to fight, but I'm training to box, because it's a very stable movement. Your torso stays relatively stable compared to MMA, for example, where, oh my God, that is just, personally, I think it's a little too brutal at this point. It's not even, I don't think it's really an art anymore. It's not like the fights that I've seen, like, it looks like they really want to kill each other. I'm not like, except for Muay Thai, they really have a lot of respect there. I see it, like, the people, they come down to each other afterwards. They almost apologize, like, I'm sorry for fucking you up. But you don't see that in, like, many of the MMA fighters. All they see, it's like all this aggression. But then again, I can't say, like, is this a persona? Is this all an act? So, like, is this just to rile people up, to be scary? Like, that's the thing. You are never there to know. You can never know. But do I want to get elbowed in the face? Maybe not.
Yeah.
So I guess
I love the 6 points of contact, though, man.
I would love it. I've learned some of it, but unfortunately, I'm a little excited that I don't have to go all the way that far. Because to be honest, like, that is shit scary, man. Like, because it's everything's allowed, basically, and I think like that's almost more of a fair fight. Like, that's more of a realistic like fighting style. Like, if you're in the street, you're probably gonna kick someone if you can. Like,
yep, you can get thrown in a headlock. You can everything, do everything's available.
Right. But luckily, I'm not trying to street fight. I'm trying to box as a sport. And so,
how far removed are you from surgery again?
Sorry?
How far removed are you from surgery again?
How long ago it was?
Yeah,
last November.
See, the reason why I asked that is because from watching the little bit I've got to see that you shared with us, your movement, I've trained with friends who fight. Like, I've trained with friends in MMA, boxing, kickboxing. I am afraid to spar with you right now because I have not sparred and moved enough to be consistent. And I'm like, yo, she's talking like she doesn't know that her movement kicks any amateur's ass right now. Like, I watch this. I'm about this life. So, yeah. I don't want to be embarrassed is what I'm saying. I'm not scared, but I know that I'll embarrass my damn self.
No, that's not true, because this is the thing. You're seeing a clean movement that I learned, that I studied, that I repeated. It's muscle memory. Mm-hmm. But if you put me in front of somebody, it goes to shit. That's the problem, because I haven't. Yes. And that's the thing, that this is exactly the next parts that I'm going to show, is that you can be looking like this doing shadow boxing. You can be looking like this hitting the bag. How are you going to look when punches getting thrown at you and you have to move out of the way and keep your form? That's the thing. That is, like, I appreciate what you're saying, like, from the bottom of my heart, like, for real, that's a really big compliment, knowing that you follow this sport as well and that you have friends that do this. But let me tell you, I'm shit at sparring right now, because I don't see things coming yet. I don't have the experience. I'm so on the focusing on the technique right now, because I'm not allowed to push to that point. Because last time I did, which was a couple weeks ago, I did the first sparring session. I did one wrong move and I ended up in the hospital. And not because I got hit, but because I stepped backwards in a way that I shouldn't have. And the slightest twist in the wrong spot already sent me into going to emergency hospital. So, like, that's, you know, I think, like, that's also a big part of moving forward, is knowing your limits. And I know for a fact that we could spar and you would probably smack the shit out of me, because I can't right now. I'm physically not able to, and I don't have the experience. But hopefully soon enough I can start getting into sparring again, because it's not just about can you hit a bag, can you shadow box beautifully, but can you be in that situation and then still operate the same way?
Yeah, it's discipline too. Like, my uncle used to box professionally, and then my cousin did a little bit. So I remember a sparring session with my cousin, and, you know, it's not scared panic, but when you're sparring and you don't really know what you're doing, you're not disciplined, it's kind of like, all these fucking punches is coming my way. What am I supposed to do? Like, when do I move? When do I throw back? Like, I'm getting my ass whooped.
Up. Yep.
Like, what happens? You know what I mean?
What happens? This is what happens. Fuck!
And it's just like, yo, I can't get a hit out.
Yeah. You get like paralyzed. You're like, because you don't know what to do. Your brain just like, nope. Shit. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be doing this.
So I think fighting so hard, because, like, when we played football, and some of my football friends, they turned to MMA. One of them turned to jiu-jitsu. He's like a gold medalist, black belt, crazy. So we had workout warriors, guys who were great in practice, shit in the game. And I'm like, you're shit in the game because you didn't take that first hit yet. So for us, we get that first hit, and that first hit doesn't have to knock us out, doesn't have to put us down for the rest of it. You just got to feel that first piece of physical contact and then say, hey, I'm engaged. All right, now everything that I learned, time to put it to work and give it back to you.
Yep.
That's kind of what you're waiting for when you're fighting, is when you're like, all right, I can now give this back to you. I'm ready to receive. Yeah. When you're ready to receive, you're ready to give it.
Yeah. There was a lot of gyms around here that I personally do not respect the way that they go on about their students, because basically you walk in and you're fresh meat. That's kind of the thought. They're like, ooh, newbie, let's beat the fuck out of her.
That's how you got somebody to quit.
Yeah, exactly. And I walked out of like 4 or 5 different gyms. I was like, I'm not going to let myself get bullied into being scared to come to learn. And I found my old coach that I started with 7 years ago, before I like got like too injured and I fell into like depression, and then I started to not choose to get out of it. It took me a long time, like all these life lessons. Like I told you, I walked through hell. There was a reason I was that much heavier, and there was a reason, and the big part of that reason was drinking a lot. Because I was depressed, because I was saying, why can't I go do sports? Oh, because I'm always in pain. I'm constantly sick. And then it just started, like, once the ball's rolling, you're going down that road. And that's when you start being around the wrong people and shit. And so I'm the type of person that as soon as now that I have finally gotten out of hell, I know who my real friends are. I know who never were, like, who was never actually my friend in the first place. I've become a very reserved person. I have my boundaries set up and so on. But I also do not tolerate disrespect anymore. And if I arrive at a gym and I feel like I'm being bullied just for being new, then you're not seeing me again. And sure as shit, I'm not paying you to get beat up for no reason. Like, if I come there and I say, look, I haven't sparred, or like, I'm having back issues, I'm close to getting operated, you know, and I get kicked in the mouth without having a mouth guard in, and the coach is like, well, you walked out just fine in my eyes. I think that's pretty fucked up. Like, that's not how you should be treating people that are trying to learn. That's how you just intimidate people. It's kind of like the Karate Kid movie, you know? Like, that gym. And now I found my
mentor. Mr. Yagi?
Yeah, and he's like my uncle. Like, he's the one guy that's like, if he was in my corner, I would not have to worry, because he makes me laugh. He takes out the tension out of boxing, because I'm when I get riled up, I get angry and I lose it. And that's where my boxing becomes shit. My boxing is good when I'm at peace, when I'm calm, when I have inner peace. And so we literally put on bachata music and we're boxing to Spanish music. And when he sees that I'm too hard on myself, like I think I've also posted one of those videos where I was jump roping and I was getting too tired and I kept smacking the shit out of myself with the ropes by accident, because I would be stepping on them or I'd be messing up the rhythm, and I would get so mad that it would give me a panic attack and I wouldn't be able to breathe because I'm so hard on myself to better myself and I don't know how to keep calm. So being in a gym environment where they're yelling at you, go, what are you doing? Why are you not moving? Why are you not moving? Bro, I'm gonna die of an asthma or panic attack. Like, you gotta stop bullying people. So yeah, I'm really, really, really blessed that I got this coach, because he genuinely cares about my well-being. And he knows when it's like he's never yelled at me. And I'm not saying he's not gonna smack me if my guard's not up. But he's also not trying to hurt me. He's not trying to intimidate me.
Yes, positive reinforcement.
Yes, and as soon as I do something correctly, that's when he jumps in. Yeah, go get it. Like, that's exactly what I'm asking. Yes, instead of focusing on the negative. And it's such a shame that so many, at least here, boxing gyms or just kickboxing gyms, whatever type of gyms, are so focused on, the more I yell at you, well, at least at some point you're going to start feeling so shit about yourself that you're going to work harder. What kind of mentality is that? Like, why are you trying to put someone down? Why don't you bring them up? They're going to learn double the speed.
I'm not going to lie. I've been lucky to see a really good gyms and then see bad gyms and hear about bad gyms. What you're saying happens here too. And okay, the good gyms have people where it's, they're trying to keep you. The good gyms are always trying to keep you. They're always like, yeah, hey, don't be building scared. They have the new guys there and they're like, yo, you're going to be back tomorrow. All right, we're going to be better tomorrow. You suck today, you'll suck tomorrow. I wasn't always good.
I love that. Giving grace to yourself and giving grace to others. And when you get to a gym, you leave that fucking ego at the freaking door. People...
That ego gets put to sleep.
Yeah, well, I never showed up with an ego at those gyms, but I also left with dignity, though. I was like, I'm not coming back here. There's no way that I'm going to let you bully me into learning how to fight out of fear. Like, fear of being hit by one of the better students. That's not the point for me. And I'm also not... That was my biggest motivation as to why I'm a boxer, is because I don't want to be scared. But I don't mean physically. I mean mentally. I don't want to be scared mentally, not of failure. I don't want to be scared mentally of rejection. I don't want to be scared of just generally not being good enough. I was bullied when I was really, really little, and that really sucked, and that stuck with me for a long, long time. And I was constantly thinking, like, I just suck. Like, and boxing is kind of like what changed my entire perspective, because it was like, if I work on something and I really put the work in every day, honestly, and not say, okay, well, I did it. Like, no, like, did you really? Because what are you doing when no one's watching? And that is like what motivated me, because for a long time, I just went completely off the grid, silent. And people now are like running back to me, like, oh, where have you been? What have you been? Oh, you're looking so good. I know. I put the work in. I know I look good.
I was there.
But it's not like I post that on my story. Guys, look how amazing I look. But if it's someone that genuinely cares about me and says, you look great, I say, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. But if it's somebody that used to like mess around with me and now they're trying to kiss ass, the response is, I know, or I just don't respond at all. It depends on what the situation is. But I guess like a lot of, I don't want to waste my energy on people from my past. If you're from my past and you did me dirty, that you're staying in the past. You're not even going to get no reply, nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't give them no energy. There you go.
So yeah. So I'm either slow or uncoordinated, but with all that in my family, I cannot jump rope. I cannot do the feet thing.
Well, fuck it. Neither can I.
I kind of suck at it too. The three of us.
The feet thing? The way that I have the heel, toe, forget it.
I just do both feet.
Yeah, I just do left, right, but like tip tops, you know?
Yeah.
You can forget the heel, toe, tip thing. Forget it.
I try to learn because it looks amazing. It looks smooth.
It does.
But
have you seen those jump ropers that do this crazy shit? I was like, I can't even do it normally. Like,
my cousin can do that. He does all the little flip flops.
That's crazy.
Can't do it.
Me neither.
So I know this is definitely going to be a two-parter, because it's already an hour and 10 minutes in, and I don't even think like we really like asked the questions. It just kind of flowed. So I know.
Oh, God, I talk a lot.
No, it's good, though. It's good. Because
I'm a big talker. I knew this was going to happen.
No, but it's great, because full transparency, I told Rook before we started, I said, I'm going to let you point guard it, because I kind of don't know what I'm going to ask and where we're going to go with it. I said, but I know once we get talking, it'll find itself.
Yeah.
And literally the first 3 minutes, it found itself.
Just talked the whole podcast.
But that's good. You're supposed to.
Yeah, the platform is yours. But it's like he said, he wasn't sure if I was going to lead or not. But
I led.
Right away, it was so natural.
Because there's still so many things to talk about that I feel like I have to be another part, because it's going to be longer. Like, yeah. we didn't get into the journey of like why you started the journey.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure isn't going to be like no shit.
Short either. No.
Yeah. So that, and then I got intrigued by the social media part of it, of how you've had more than one page, you said, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like for the people that watch, that's good tools and keys to know, like, what did you learn from it? Like, how did you figure out how to move? Like, how to actually get followers? Like key tips or something like that? I feel like people would need to know that. But that's just like, that's also not a 5-minute thing.
No. I mean, I'm happy to do more interviews with you guys where we go into more specific topics where we don't sidetrack, because I'm also shit at telling stories, because I never get to the end of one. I always just jump to the next one. So if I have like a plan, okay, today we're following social media, or today we're following, okay, what was your why or whatnot, then we'll stick to that. We'll try to do that.
Nah, this was like an icebreaker, man, and it was so cool and free flowing. And you said you're an artist, and boxing is also an art. You're a full on artist, but you do video editing, right?
Yeah, I do content creation. Yeah. Content creation. Anything. I also recorded some music. I'm at home in my studio. I like everything that's with, like, artistic. Anything artistic.
That's like me. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I jump from one thing to the next, but I keep jumping backwards. Always artistic things. I think the one thing that I'm probably best at is content creation, like photography, editing, especially. I just have an eye for like visuals. When I see something, I'm like, oh my God, I gotta take this photo.
I believe that because I used to work in TV and film along with acting. Again, Rook knows that. So mm-hmm. when I do actually take pictures, I mean, I personally think my pictures are fire. But I see like a certain thing when I take them, but I don't know like what it is. And like if you gave me like a real camera, like the shit you zoom in and exposure, I wouldn't know. Yeah. I wouldn't know how to do all that shit. But I know what I'm looking for when I see
something. Yeah, like about the eye. That's
Yeah.
The part of knowing how to use a camera is that comes after. That has nothing to do, because how many people I have asked, can you take a photo of me? And like, I tried with all the patience of my entire being to tell them from what angle and when to click. And I'd look at it and I would just be kind and be like, it's great. And I would just trash it because like later I would not be able to use it.
Yeah.
Like, because they just don't see what I see. And that's not mm-hmm. on them. But it has nothing to do with the camera. Like, you can know how to use a camera and still be a shit photographer. Because if you don't see, like, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter that you know, what you just said. You see it. You have the vision for it. So, like, I think the camera is just, how do you say that? I'm missing the word. It's like, it's just a tool that you're using. It's just an additional tool, because the actual art of photography is having the eye for it.
Yeah.
You always learn to use a camera.
So you say like it's a bad thing of how you talk a lot and you didn't get anywhere. But I think this is the dope first interview, because one, we just shot the shit. We still got key points of your life, little bits and pieces and sprinkles, like teasers.
Yeah.
And two, I don't think we've ever had a part two, like for real, right, Rick? Like, we always say we're going to do a part two, but we haven't got there yet.
Yeah.
And then three, like, legitimately, I mean, within a couple of days we did, but we don't know you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, we don't know each other, but we're flowing.
But it felt like we all been cool forever.
Yeah. It's been like, as if we're just at home talking.
Yeah, so I think that's dope. And then I think it's cool because this could be part one. Part two could be the journey. Part three could be social media. And we could put that in with the photography. So there's actually different sections we can break down with you, you know, with your time.
Yeah.
Since we're in different worlds. But I think it's dope. But before I do my exit questions that we do,
mm-hmm.
what do you want these people that watch this episode to be left with from you? Like, is there anything you want to tell them or for them to know?
Believe in yourself and don't let anybody ever tell you you can't do something. If you think you can do it, you can.
Yep, I love that.
Because
we say that all the time. I love that. All right, so this is rapid fire. We asked you four questions, and the first thing that comes off your mind, you
just say, all right.
All right. First question is, if you weren't doing what you're doing right now, what would you be doing?
From all like the different things that I'm doing right now?
Yeah, like anything in the world, like, damn, that's something I really want to do. I'll do that.
I would work at a dog shelter. I would help. I would try to be one of those people that goes and rescues dogs all over the world.
You know what? That's fire. I like that. Because I said, if I ever, well, when I get in a great position financially.
Yeah.
I said I did want to have like a little backyard or something. Like with mad dogs that were on the cusp of like, you know, being like put down.
Yeah. From the meat market and my grandma in Hungary does that. She's a bit a little too old now to do it, but she used to have a backyard full of dogs. She would just every stray dog in Hungary, she would just pick it up, take it home.
Yeah.
If you can, that's what I would be doing probably, yeah.
Yeah, I like the answer. Second, who influences you?
Kanye West.
That's definitely different. We haven't got that one. I'm intrigued. Why?
Because he doesn't give a shit what people think.
The unapologetic.
He believes in him. Like, sometimes people laugh and like, okay, maybe they say he's losing his mind. I think it's strategy. And then on the other hand, like, if you've looked at the series that was filmed on him, the documentary, he started filming long before he was anybody. You know what that shows? He already knew that he had it. Yeah. He always knew he had it, and he knew where he was going, and he knew that he was going to pull it off, because he knew that if he would put in the freaking work, that is going to happen. And I love that mindset, and that's what my mindset is. That's like,
yeah.
I know that one day I'll be where I want to be. So, Kanye.
Word, you got that I bet on myself energy.
Yeah.
I'm a little upset I didn't document our journey.
Our journey is documented. All right, it's in this shit right here.
But you know when we did the concerts and the shows and shit, like the studio times, like that would have been dope. Would have been. Anywho, it's not about me. Third question. Favorite curse word?
Fuck.
Okay. That's universal pretty much. Got it?
Pretty much.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just so useful. Just works in so many ways.
No, I mean, there's a reason why it's popular.
Yeah.
All right, last question. If you could have any superhero power, what would it be?
Does it have to be a suit? Like, can I invent a power?
I don't think we've ever had that. Go ahead.
Yeah.
To move out of my emotion for a split second when I need to.
Oh, shit.
That's good. Never heard that definitely before. It's a good one. A lot of people do get mental blocks.
Yeah.
So is it just for you, or can you do it for other people?
Well, I mean, the reason it would be for myself, like if I would, having borderline, I experience very intense shit sometimes. And I've learned to deal with it, but sometimes it would be cool to just say, okay, just for this split second where I have to make a decision that might be like incredibly important, that I can turn my feelings off just for that. And like really step out and like not be in that moment with that feeling and look at it from like an outside perspective, kind of like float out and be like, okay.
Yeah, like out of body.
But like, it should be like
Doctor Strange.
You know what I mean? Like, not longer than that. It would be like, okay, turn it off real quick, have a think, then go back in and be like, okay, even though I'm feeling this, because that's what toughens you. But you did get that moment of, if I wasn't feeling like this right now, what would I be thinking? So, yeah.
That is Dr. Strange just a little bit.
Yeah, kind of like that.
I like it. All right. I'll put it in the description box, whatever, but tell everyone where they can find you or where you want them to find you.
On TikTok. That's where I put most of my videos. It's on Instagram. It's like I post the same thing, but that audience that I have there is from previous and like people that I know. So the one I mainly use, TikTok, is at darkfellow. Fellow spelled FELHO.
I'll put it in
the because it's box. Hungarian, so ignore the. I'll send you the spelling, and we'll get into what that means a different time.
Yeah, but I don't know about Switzerland, but in America, TikTok might be disappearing. So y'all make sure y'all find it. Follow Instagram too.
Yeah, it's the same username.
Cool, Rook. Yeah, parting guest.
Bro, this is the energy that we need, not just for this year, but just in general in life. All right, people looking into themselves deeper and you know, figuring out who you are and who you want to be, and then going for that. You know, you're not worried about anybody else's outside opinions, because now you know you see my hairstyle choices and stuff like that. I'm crazy, so I'm not thinking about what other people are thinking, but I'm thinking about how I feel in the moment and how I see myself and what I'm looking for tomorrow. So that's the energy from the trio that's in this room, and we are happy to have you, happy to have had this moment with you, and look forward to the next, because for damn sure that energy fits.
I enjoyed as well. I feel like we're all vibing the same vibe. We're on the same page. So yeah. It was a pleasure, really. It was really nice. Thanks for having me, for real.
We pulling up when we open up the podcast bank account. It's got to be in Switzerland, you know. It's the neutral zone.
Absolutely.
Especially because I found out it's not that far.
It isn't.
I could fly 9 hours. I just did 7.
If I can do 22, I could do 9. I thought it was like 22, 26, just like that. I was like, oh, Lord.
And you can go to Milan or to Zurich. Either way, like, getting to Switzerland from either side is easy. Because, like, where I'm in Ticino, it's, like, 2 hours with the train from Zurich. And then from Milan, it's, like, 45 minutes by car or train, an hour.
Yeah.
So both airports are close. So one day we'll have on podcast session in person. Somewhere.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's gonna happen. We're gonna get that big pause. But
yeah.
To recap it was definitely a pleasure. It's everything I thought it was gonna get to, but it got there mad quick. Cause I thought it was gonna be like 20-30 minutes into it, and then we're like, all right, cool, like, we got it, we're flowing. And 3 seconds in, it was just off and running, and we couldn't get the horse back. So
yeah.
So to me it was great.
That was my biggest concern, that I would like just not be able to.
Nah, it's dope, because you can get a guest that you talk to and you ask them a question, and it's like real short, and it's just like,
and but yeah, then
dead now. We're just looking around
and you're just stuck, and like, damn, we got 45 minutes left to go. Okay,
yeah, you're gonna have that problem with me. I always got shit to say.
I'm pretty sure I might have been offensive, so like I said, we need a care package. So we can try that out. We need some of those over here. But it's been a pleasure. We'll definitely get part 2, like, for real. I mean, we got a couple part 2s to do, but this we definitely got to do part 2 too. So everyone knows where to find everybody. Be yourself.
Thank you, everybody. It was so nice meeting you all. Bye. Through the money, designer the drip. Don't got a cap on my spirit. Bet on myself.